Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A professor at Central College will be reading from his new memoir tonight at Central College. What's his journey? Why did he write it? And what can we learn? Let's go in depth with Josh Dolezal, author of Down from the Mountaintop, From Belief to Belonging. So Josh, what inspired you to write Down from the Mountaintop?
Well, I think I was conscious from an early age of growing up different from my peers. My parents were back to the landers, and I wore homemade clothes to school, and we grew a large garden, and I hunted elk with my father, and it was a subsistence kind of lifestyle that was, even in that rural environment, somewhat distinctive. And so I felt from an early age that I needed to explain those differences, going to Tennessee for college, then to Nebraska for graduate school. Again, I felt the sense of difference. And so essays for me are, as Scott Russell Sanders says, experiments and making sense of things, and gave me a chance to discover things about myself, but also make connections that I didn't feel were natural or always possible in just regular social life.
Well, you started these as essays. Did you have a memoir in mind when you started?
Well, I began writing these essays in a creative nonfiction seminar with Ted Kooser at the University of Nebraska. And at the time, I was just trying to get discrete individual essays published. As I began working with him, I started thinking more about an essay collection. And the title of that initially was A Genealogy of Water. So I began writing a lot of memoir essays with water imagery or water themes in mind. Northwestern Montana is a place of very stunning rivers and lakes and streams, and I felt that powerfully growing up as central to my sense of place as much as the mountaintop. So that was initially the theme. But as I learned quickly while shopping that manuscript around some years ago, essay collections don't sell unless you have name recognition. People want a continuous narrative. And so that's really when I began thinking more about the memoir and trying to fill in gaps and develop narrative arcs that span the entire book, as opposed to groupings of related thematic essays that weren't explicitly linked.
Well, in the Down from the Mountaintop part of it is down from where you grew up in Montana to your journeys through various landscapes, Nebraska, Tennessee, and finally down from the mountaintop, landing in Pella. Is that the Down from the Mountaintop?
Well, the title is meant to have two meanings, and the first is coming down from a kind of transcendental religious culture, the Pentecostal revival culture, where the emphasis was very much on rising above mundane everyday life and achieving a state of spiritual awakening. And trying to sustain that in everyday life, which is impossible. But it's very much like trying to live on the mountaintop. You can't really do it. You always have to come back down. So early on, that's what I associated the mountaintop with, was that sense of uplift. And later, when I moved away from that religious tradition, physically reenacting that transcendence by climbing mountains, not with pickaxes and crampons and all the gear, but just hiking trails up steep slopes to a top where I had a view. That was similarly a search for transcendence. So moving to Iowa, a more modest culture in a more rolling landscape, was a kind of twofold shift away from that.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Josh Dolezal, author of Down from the Mountaintop, From Belief to Belonging. Well, and you grew in many ways. This is a a journey of self-discovery, and then also the discovery of landscape.
Absolutely. Well, I should say that the essay collection, as I originally envisioned it, was really an elegiac collection about feeling exiled from the Mountain West, from the Pacific Northwest in particular. And so the water imagery often had that haunting tone of lament. And the memoir in its current form includes several essays near the end about connecting to Iowa as a place, not as the absence of the mountaintop, but as a place rich with personality and character in itself. And so that actually came much later in the writing process, but it was, as you say, part of self-discovery.
Well, I've known you for several years now, and I remember back long enough that you had a completely different perception of Iowa and Pella than you do now. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I think some of that is due to a national prejudice against the flat landscape, that when we think of sacred nature, everyone thinks of Ken Burns filming Yosemite Falls, the iconic image of beauty in the natural landscape. So there's the sense of the Mountain West, the frontier idea of the Edenic West, I think, is still prevalent. And the Middle West, I'm not the first to say this, Patricia Hampel and Jonathan Franzen and others have said to be from the Midwest is to be, there's a lack of identity, there's a kind of emptiness, there's a kind of nothingness associated with that place. Artists who speak of negative space in a composition will think of the sky as negative space. So I think our metaphors nationally precondition outsiders to not recognize Iowa as a place with substance, but instead to see it as a place of absence. So that's the point of view I had when I came. I was eager to get back to the mountains, and it was through relationships, it was through community, and through some acts of fate, being summoned for jury duty, meeting my wife that summer, planting a garden for the first time, some things that were beyond my control that changed my thinking.
Well, you just saw it a little deeper. You took time to look around with a different lens.
Well, I talked with my students about the idea of love, which I think is very similar to our sense of place. And as a college student, I had perhaps an adolescent idea of love as a state of intoxication. You know, Puck waves his wand and the fairy dust makes you fall in love. And I think students sometimes feel that way. But a more mature idea of love is the enduring bond that comes from effort, from commitment, from many moments of affection, and listening closely, watching closely, spending time. And I think place is like that. So initially, I didn't fall head over heels with Iowa. I wasn't intoxicated by the place. But over time, I developed a very profound relationship with people and with the place. And I think the cumulative depth of that is, I still have lots to write about that.
Do you think that one can ever really get a good grasp of place in the sense that isn't place sort of, don't we sort of create it? Create it in ourselves, in our mind, as much as it exists external to us?
Well, there are always those questions about representation, you know, what is real. But I think to some extent an ecosystem or native species, blue stem, grass, for instance, there is something there that can't just be created. It's not entirely imagined. I guess the significance of it, the metaphors we use to describe it, those are constructions, those are creations of place. But for me, part of the humility of connecting to a place is learning what's there. One of those awakenings for me was learning about soil, that soil has horizons, that the richness of Iowa was formed, that topsoil was formed from millennia of prairie grasses decaying. So even though that tall grass prairie is gone, it's still in visible form in a lot of places. It still exists in the soil. It's present. And that's not me imagining something necessarily or creating something that's not there. That's getting to know something that is to some extent objectively true.
More in depth after this.
We'll be right back.
I continued my conversation with Josh Dolezal, author of Down from the Mountaintop, From Belief to Belonging. Well, as a professor, it would have been easy to think that you could come to know Iowa from your office, from your interactions with students, from, you know, what you see from your front porch and from your car window. But you don't approach things like that. You're out in the water, you're at the lake, you're biking, you're hiking. You see it differently than even than a whole lot of other professors and actually a whole lot of other people do.
Well, I don't claim to see everything. I think one can make an effort to see. One can learn how to see a place by asking certain questions and, as you say, being outdoors, having certain experiences. So I don't claim to have, you know, the final word on Iowa, certainly. But as you're saying, the physical experience is very much as important as the historical knowledge or studying the culture or having academic ideas about place as opposed to firsthand experience. So working with an artist like David Williamson, who's lived here for decades, deeply committed to the place, and also able to take something that I would have perceived as ugly before, say a car frame rusting in a stream, and turn that into art, that's been profound in affecting my sense of place. So people have also been instrumental in helping me see those new things.
Well, what was the most difficult part of your journey?
Well, I came here as a single person, and I was profoundly influenced by the sense of exile, that I left my home landscape and home culture for all of these good reasons, that, you know, I needed opportunity. I had interests, intellectual interests that I needed to pursue. I had professional potential that I needed to realize. And I think that's common for a lot of young people from rural areas, that to be successful, to be a full person, to fully realize your potential, you have to go away. But, and I knew that it wasn't possible for me to be all of those things in that small town that I grew up in. At the same time, I felt deeply estranged from things that felt fundamental to who I was, being able to ski in the winter or hunt elk, or had the sense of freedom of open space that I felt so profoundly growing up. And so when I came to Iowa, I had that sense of exile, and it was compounded by being a single person fresh out of graduate school searching for a place to belong. And I think that was difficult. That was probably the most difficult part of the journey, was feeling that tension between a place that I wanted to go back to but couldn't, and just the kind of limbo, I think, of young adulthood.
Well, what pulled you out of that?
It was time. It was relationships. It was community. I've talked with friends about social institutions that give us that sense of belonging, and for a lot of people, churches provide that. I don't think we have a social equivalent of a church, except in a college, where there is a very profound sense of community, where we spend time together in ceremonial ways. We ask big questions. We want to know what life means. And I think that connects you to people. So for me, with my students, with my colleagues, through programs like our community-based learning, where we're going out into the community and working with nonprofits towards social justice or conservation goals, going to Farm Crawl in Marion County, visiting small farms for tomato tastings, all of those things were helpful in breaking that sense of exile and fashioning a sense of belonging.
Could you read a short passage for us?
Sure. This is from the last chapter, Circles, and it's about planting my first garden. I realize I'm humming to myself as I plant a cucumber mound and two hills of butternut squash and a row of red ace beets, thinking I might add some basil and sage and sweet peas. It's a Greg Brown song running through my thoughts, one of his Iowa tunes. Come and taste a little of the summer. My grandma put it all in jars. I'm making mistakes, as I will learn in July while cutting back the tangled squash vines so the beets may breathe. But I'm here now, bone deep in this place. I do not think I've ever been so sure of my body, so driven by instinct, not even with a pack strapped to my back and my face set toward a snowy peak. My hands know without thinking what to do with these seeds. This knowledge washes over me like a burst of rain, that I have all the guides I need to see Iowa as it is. They're clamoring in my blood memory, all those gardeners on both sides marveling at this glacial loam. I remember how Jim Burden felt when he found Antonia again after years apart. I had the sense of coming home to myself, he said, and of having found out what a little circle man's experience is. Iowa has been waiting for me all this time, under my feet, so much richer than the alkaline mountain soil my parents mixed every year with horse manure. I know from a biologist friend that soil has horizons. The O horizon is organic residue on the surface, and the A horizon is topsoil, where seeds germinate. Deeper is the B horizon, subsoil, which provides structure for long roots. Then the C horizon with loose minerals and stones, and finally the parent rock, which makes a mountain when pushed by a tectonic shift toward the sky. Through all the generations of earth-loving folk stretching back on both sides of my family tree, I begin to see how plunging my hands into the soil might help me, the grower, also take root.
Thanks to Josh Dolezal for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.